is the moment you've all been waiting for.
DC and RC.
Welcome to a brand new episode of DC.
Coming to you from Lafayette, Louisiana.
It's DC and RC.
Hailing from Marrero, Louisiana.
It's fight night. Catch a right hook in your right eye. Change how you look. Daniel, come again. And Ryan Clark, the champs are here. With battle scars, it's warfare. Louisiana's in the air. From Marrero to Lafayette to Los Angeles to Times Square.
I could go one show without you going, I'm a Super Bowl champ.
When the mic's on, it's showtime. DC and RC, we winning Super Bowls and Emmys. And Daniel got two belts around the belly.
Oh! UFC history!
Hey, I'm DC, two division champ. I ran the UFC.
Cause we asking all the tough questions.
This guy's the worst, RC. I don't know how you can do a show with
DC, you broke my heart.
This is MMA, mixed martial all-stars. And we about that grinding pound, so be on guard. And we going round for round, cause we want it all. But there can only be one in the octagon. DC and RC, DC and RC, DC and RC, ESPN, tune in to see.
What's up, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of DC and RC. I'm Daniel Cormier. That is my good friend Ryan Clark in New Jersey, NFL Films. RC, what's up, my guy?
Nothing much, brother. Just hanging out, you know. Glad to be back with you for another Tuesday. I missed last week just trying to travel for the Super Bowl, get to Vegas.
That is
so you know how it is. Bro,
that's a
by
crazy
the way,
week. That is a crazy DC. Week, Super Bowl week.
DC, bro, we got robbed. They
no,
the pivot, bro.
Bro, come on,
bro.
Where?
In Vegas, dog. They took all of our stuff.
The equipment.
They took all the equipment.
Bro, time out, RC. What? Out of your hotel room or something? Like where?
We had like a little room off to the side that the hotel had for us to lock everything up. And one of our cameramen got duped, bro. And they lifted it, dog. Computers, shows, bro.
Dog, that's...
They hit us up, dog.
Hey, listen. If you look at your boy, I'm out of shave. Today's a sad day, but that news just put a smile on the boy's face. Because anytime... They say misery loves company, my guy.
Bro. Yeah, bro. Yeah, dog. So that was what happened, man. But I have some news for everybody. It's sad news for sure. This will be my last show with DC on DC and RC. And I do want to say this for all the people with all the TV I do with the podcast and everything else, for everybody who walked up to me and said, I love your show with DC. Thank you so much. It was probably the thing I was most insecure about in this job was to have to do a show about mixed martial arts, about the UFC, about combat sports with one of the greatest to ever do it. I was insecure about what I didn't know. I was embarrassed about the things I had experienced. But first of all, to you, Daniel, man, I can't thank you enough. You have become a friend for life through this process, man. Like somebody I always admired, but now, you know, to have a relationship with you, a friendship, to love you, to know how loyal you are, to how much, you know, you always had my back. Thank you, bro. Without you, nobody ever accepts me. Nobody ever thinks that I'm good enough to do this job. And so first of all, man, I want to say thank you. To G, man, to Jake, to Sean, man, to Air, to everybody that's ever worked on the show, Cheyenne, who sets up everything. Any trip we go on, man, thank you guys for embracing me. Like just a football player from the boot who loved to see people get punched in the face, to be honest. You know what I mean? And because of y'all, I got to get to my first UFC event. Because of y'all, people in that circle actually know me, you know? Like the fighters know me and that's because of how everybody embraced me. I hope whatever the new show is, you know, DC, I'm invited on from time to time.
Absolutely.
I can be like the Michael Chandler of that show. But y'all still going to see me, man. I'm still going to be around. But we wanted to do the right thing by having just one more opportunity to get together and give me a chance to say thank you to the mixed martial arts world, but most of all, my colleagues and friends I got to work with for 2 years.
RC, you know, the thing for me, and obviously I'm very, very sad that you are not going to be doing the show anymore, but very happy for how far you've come in the last 2 years. I mean,
thank you, bro.
I remember when we walked into the MGM Grand when Conor was fighting on International Fight Week, and you said, this is crazy. We did our first show at the Vegas studio at ESPN.
Yep.
And you said, this is crazy. And I remember we walked in there and people were like, hey, Ryan Clark, football player. Right. And then you fast forward a year and it was RC. RC, like, dude,
yep.
Nobody said your full name anymore. It went from your full name in year one to nobody saying your full name anymore. And then when we went to London, I think that was the time that I felt that you had really got embraced by the mixed martial arts community.
Yeah.
I remember walking to that hotel, we had dinner one night, and as we're walking in, the fans were all coming up to you as equally as the rest of us that lived in the world of mixed martial arts. And I think that is a direct reflection of your preparation, of your time spent loving and watching this sport, because people can feel that. It's authentic. Mm-hmm. This was not fake. This was not made up. You worked hard. There were a lot of times where there were fights that I didn't watch, and I was like, RC, you actually watched that? You actually watched that, man?
Yeah,
you
man.
Did, bro, because you always loved the sport, and it's genuine, Ryan. The one thing about you, man, I thought initially, I was like, this dude say he don't cuss, he don't do all that. I was like, this has to be a bit of a John Jones situation. But as I got to know you better, I realized that it is real, man. It's real. You're a genuinely good dude, and good things happen to good people. So while we will miss you, I know that there are only bigger things for you in the future. All right, RC, what, as we look back, is going to be your favorite moment? And I will tell you what mine is with you as we go forward. Or if you want to think about it, I can tell you mine first. Your choice.
So I'm gonna go to my first one of my favorite two moments, right?
Okay.
Because
I'm doing one, you're gonna do two.
Right. The thing that happened with us was we just didn't get to be together a lot.
Yep.
Right. So I love whenever we got an opportunity to be in the same place. And two times we got to go to campus, we shot basketball and we played golf.
Oh yeah. That was
fun. Right. And that so those were two moments where, like, I got to be around you. We got to compete and we got to be friends, like just friends on camera. Like, I didn't even feel like the camera was rolling. So that's definitely a favorite moment of mine. But I think, like, the number one favorite moment of ours is not on the show. I was walking through a park in London, just hanging out. And I'm walking through and I see a guy sitting down watching the phone. And I was like, is that freaking Daniel Cormier? And I'm walking up. I was like, wait, that's DC and Cassandra.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to figure out what the hell y'all are doing. And y'all are watching wrestling.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And and we kind of walked together for the rest of the day, hung out, went to the palace or whatever. But like the times where like I just got to be around you and like share, whether it's sports, fighting, fun, friendship, like those are the moments that like I remember from this, because you were a dude I saw fight and I admired and I knew you were from the boot and we saw each other in the airport, but like we became friends because we did a show together. You know what I'm saying? So the moments where the friendship stood out on the show are like the big moments for me.
I love that. I love that moment in London. You were like, dude, what are you doing? And what are you forcing her to do? I said, watch wrestling. I was like, watch wrestling. But you know which one was good for me was we had, first off, you turning all of my friends against me somehow. I don't know how you managed to do that so fast.
Because you're an actual bad person. You're closer to the John Jones than I am. 100%. I don't know if it's fighting.
All of my friends
like
somehow turned against me. And so then the opening of the show became my friends with Ryan messing with me, which is, I had no idea how to happen. But you know what one was good for me? whenever we were, you came to the Hall of Fame, you and Jan. And afterwards, we sat with Habib. And we were like, come on, man, you got to dance with us. Brother, no, I don't do this.
I was like, scared. I was like,
come on, RC, we like, Khabib, man, we in the Hall of Fame, let's dance. He's like, brother, please, no, I don't dance. Brother, I was please, like, no. It was hilarious because his reaction was so genuinely him. And you and I were just so us in that moment, right?
Yeah.
We were dancing. We were having fun. We were being fun, too, fun dudes from Louisiana. Yeah. And he was just like, what is this BS? Hey,
and he was a dude from Dagestan that fought a bear.
Like, that was playing. Yeah, he's like, I didn't grow up like y'all. We don't play. We fight bear as children, and we don't dance. And so that was a fun one. And then getting to go on the pivot with you guys the next day was also very fun. So it was like a fun weekend overall. London was fun. You getting to sit next to me as we watched the main event,
Gaethje
and Fazeev, right? Or the co-main event, and Kamaru and Leon. And then even at that dinner in London with you, me, Michael Leaves,
that was fun. Man.
So I appreciate
you know what, too? Let me cut you off, DC. You know what, too? Filming the opening that we now have on the show.
Yeah, that was fun.
Like that was cool for me because, like, I realized, I was like, wait, DC really is a scary dude. Like, he can still pick his leg up that high, bad back at all. You know what I mean? But, like, just, you know, the stare off, getting in the octagon, actually having the piece that I knew you wouldn't punch me for real, that made me feel good too, knowing that you weren't gonna steal on me. But that was cool.
That was cool, RC. RC, yo, it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. But listen, RC, before we say goodbye, let's talk fights one more time.
Let's get it.
One more time, my brother. UFC 298 is next weekend, and Ilia Topuria is taking on one of the guys that was really generous with his time for the show is Alexander Volkanovski. Every time we called, he answered, and he brought it. Great energy, great human being. Fighting Ilia Topuria, undefeated. Young Spanish fighter who seems to believe that this is going to be easy. RC, what do you make of this fight, man? Where is this kid's confidence coming from?
Well, I mean, this confidence is coming from continuing to walk out of the octagon with his hand held high, right? He's always been the winner. And so he doesn't know that feeling of walking out a loser. He also doesn't know the feeling of stepping inside the octagon with one of the greatest to ever do it, right? That's a different thing. And for me, walking in humbly lets the sleeping bear stay asleep, right? Mm. You're supposed to let sleeping lions lie. And so now, this is Alexander Volkanovski that's coming off of a devastating loss to Islam Makhachev. He was already going to be focused because he understands what he has to get back. And so now dealing with some of the issues he told us about, right, post-fight, and having to refocus, having to get right, what better way to do that than to basically have a dude disrespecting you?
Yep.
Right? Ilia Topuria is disrespectful. The way he walks around, goes about, the way he's talking about what he's going to do to vote, like, that's disrespectful. The great thing about your sport, though, DC, you get to check disrespect.
Yep.
You get to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
RC, you know what's crazy? Did you see what Topuria, who I like, I think he is a great style matchup for Volk. But, I mean, it's to the level. Did you see what his girlfriend said? His girlfriend said.
No, I see what she said.
Dude, his girl said, if somebody has to die in there, it's not going to be my guy. Like, bro, his girl went out and said that in the world. It's like, bro, it's like, yo, that's crazy. But first off, it's crazy that that's the way that they think over there, right?
Right.
Because you're only hoping nothing. But she's like, I know my guy. And I know my guy can get through anything. Granted, hey, spousal support is as good as anything in the world. But
right.
He has to go answer for that. Volkanovski, right. I was watching him on Countdown, and he said he wasn't disappointed in the performance of the last fight. He was disappointed about the person he was before going yes. into that fight because he said he drank every day. He said he just was not himself. That's why he did it. You and I, we spoke about this yep. for a long time. And Alexander Volkanovski now is motivated. He's had time. But I think what people are seeing and what Topuria is drawing from is what he saw in the last fight. Because now Volkanovski doesn't have that aura of invincibility to him as much as he did prior. So I think that is where he thinks he can exploit him. But I was never young in MMA because I started almost 31 years old. But I was undefeated. And I got all the way to the championship as an undefeated fighter. And I thought, because all I had seen, RC, was domination, right? Mm-hmm. Every time I went in there, to your point, I won and I won impressively. So I figured the only possible outcome against John Jones would be the same thing.
Same thing.
And then it didn't happen. And when it didn't happen, not only did I not operate as well as I could have, my corner didn't operate as well yeah. as we could have because they had never seen it. So it's like, it was new for everyone to watch a guy that has been that dominant because you saw what he did to Josh Emmett. What happens yep. to this kid, Topuria, if it starts to go sideways when he hasn't experienced that?
And that's the big question, you know, and I hate to bring everything to football, but let's look at this week of football, right? The San Francisco yeah. 49ers have a quarterback and a team who hasn't had that experience in the biggest of moments, mm-hmm. right? Kyle Shanahan's been there before, but your quarterback's young. You have these different players who've never been there. And then you have the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid, who
yep.
who have won it, who have prepared for this moment, who understand the overtime rules when the San Francisco 49ers don't, who know when they get the ball back, we can go score a touchdown. And so all of these things are happening and you're trying to react instead of being proactive, yep. right? What the champions normally are proactive. The champions know, okay, we didn't have a great round. Here is how we rebounded because this is what we rebounded from before, absolutely. Right? If Ilia Topuria gets up, right? We can say, hey, Volk, you know, you remember in the second fight against Max Holloway, we had yep. some bad rounds. Here is how we rebounded. You remember Brian Ortega being in the mounted guillotine right? And you figuring out a way to not only get out, but finish the round on top. You've done everything that's ever needed to be done. Now go do that. Whereas Ilya, and you've been so dominant, what happens when Volk starts to find that range, which he always does, or which he normally does, find the range, begin to get in and get out? You know, what happens when he controls you on the ground? When all of these things start to happen, how does he rebound mentally? And what is his corner's reaction to losing? What is his corner's reaction to adversity? And I think that can play a big part in this fight this weekend in UFC 298.
It's going to be so good, man. Because I believe that this is the best fight we have on the schedule right now. I think that these two are so evenly matched. But we have seen Alexander Volkanovski many times take guys that look on his level and make him look amateur. Yeah. I can only, Ryan, point to a young Conor McGregor, and he had that type of confidence going in there against a long-reigning champion. And look at what he did. Poirier gets this done, especially if he gets it done impressively. They will strap a rocket ship to his back, and he will
DC, don't
right
you do
to
that.
Move.
DC, don't you compare? Don't you
I'm
compare
you,
Ilya
RC,
to young
you
Conor?
Saying, you saying don't Ilya you? Is cocky, but what about Conor? That's why y'all fell in love with Conor. If Conor wasn't like he was and do it in the way that he did, y'all wouldn't have fell in love with him so bad.
DC, and Ilya's been nice. Conor wasn't letting people even stick around at that time, though, bro. Like, it wasn't, and it was in third, like, I just watched it. I watched it on social media this week, and I just kept replaying it because it don't take but 16 seconds to watch, right? Like, he's on top of the octagon in 16 seconds into
this
video.
That's crazy.
But, bro, it was so explosive. But Ilya's trash talk is different. Like, we knew Conor was being disrespectful, but it was sort of fun. It felt like gamesmanship. And you were like, yeah, that's Jose Aldo. Like, he ain't lost a fight in 10 years, bro. Like, respect him. But it felt like, oh, Conor is just being Conor. Ilya is like, you actually aren't that charismatic. We actually don't like you as much. You actually aren't putting people to sleep at this rate. You know what I mean? And so, and two, we just like Volk. You know what I'm saying? Like, we like him. And so I'm interested to see how this fight goes. But I do want to see, though, Volkanovski's reaction to being knocked out.
Yeah.
For the
that
first time.
That has to play a factor. There are lingering effects to being knocked out in that way. Hey, but Poirier, while Conor was fun, Poirier actually looks a little scary, right? Like, he looks like he could be like a very dangerous person. Like, he looks a little bit scary. Like, his hair's like perfect. He looks mean as hell. I'm like, dude. He wears turtlenecks. This dude is something else. I cannot wait for the fight. But RC, as always, we got to tap in and tap out. But before I let you go, right, UFC 299 is in Miami, where you and Jordan will be attending to watch Sean O'Malley is fighting Chito Vera. First, give me two predictions. I want the Volk prediction, and I want the O'Malley prediction before you go, because it's not like you've got anything right so far on the show. So you might.
I'm going with both champions. Both Alexander Volkanovski and Sean O'Malley win. I think Volkanovski wins late with the TKO. He finishes the fight, and I think Sean O'Malley wins by decision. Those are my two thoughts on that, because Cheeto's going to start slow, right?
Yep.
Sean's going to start out early, and I think he finds a way to last throughout the fight.
Chef, I mean, look at my sweet baby. My sweet baby just know everything. Now Chef.
Now watch this. The good thing is this, DC. If Ilya and Cheeto win, I ain't on the show no more no way.
Oh, Chef, baby, you so smart now. It's time to tap in the tap out. Over Jake.
All right, guys, one last time. Jake Paul and Sean Strickland have gone back and forth on social media, enticing one another for a boxing match. DC, tap in or tap out, Sean Strickland versus Jake Paul is the boxing match we actually want to see.
See, so I tap in because I would like to see Jake Paul fight someone big like that and that can still fight at the highest level of the sport. But I also know that Sean Strickland doesn't even want to fight him. He wants to kill him. If you read Sean Strickland's quotes, he wants to kill Jake Paul. So I don't know that he'd be willing to fight him in a boxing match. Even if Jake's offering him $1 million to go to Puerto Rico, he doesn't want to fight him. He wants to harm him. He said, meet me in a desert somewhere. Please someone tell me how I can kill this man and get away with it. That's just Sean Strickland, Ryan, one of your favorite fighters.
Yeah, that's kind of scary, though. I don't know. But I do tap in on watching the boxing match. I think it'll be fun. Sean Strickland, which we learned through the Israel Adesanya fight, has a style that is somewhat different to deal with for kickboxers, right? As some mixed martial artist, it's more what you see inside a boxing ring. And he would be one of the few guys, if not the only guy, Jake Paul fought from the MMA world, who actually belongs in that ring based on his youth, his skill, right, and where he actually is in his career. So I tap in on it, but what I don't want to see is those two dudes be around each other before that, because the bodyguards from Jake Paul are going to have to get active.
All right, guys, during the show's run, there were countless debates that the two of you had between each other. So RC, tap in or tap out, the show would have been should have been renamed RC and DC since you won all these debates.
I tap out, right? The show should have still been DC because it's a UFC show. But I do tap in that I won pretty much every actual debate.
Nonsense.
Anytime someone could, and I know this is not a word, someone could be proclaimed more righter, it was me. Right? I was right more often than DC was. And when he was wrong, he cheated until he could be almost right. Like, that's who that dude is.
Let me say this. I tap completely out only because it's just false. Here's the deal. Ryan Clark won one debate. The last debate, whenever we were arguing about Michael Chandler fighting back to fight Conor McGregor. That was the first time and the only time that after, in retrospect, I go, man, he actually might have been right. Outside of that, I won every debate, but you were right on the McGregor fighting Chandler and it being backwards for Chandler. That was the first, dude, it took you 2 years to win a debate, but I mean, hey, when the student beats the master, that's when the master recognizes how great he truly is.
Oh, my God.
All right, guys, we know DC mentioned dancing earlier in the show. The segment with Habib during the Hall of Fame, and we know RC always loves to dance after the show open. So DC, tap in or tap out, RC is the best dancer on the show.
Easy.
I tap in because guess what? There's a guy named Jake Lebowitz, Sean Cooney, and I know the only guy that might possibly have any rhythm is Daniel Cormier, and I don't have rhythm. So yes, RC is the best dancer because I can't imagine you can dance. Jake, Sean can dance, and I know Glenn can't dance because Glenn got two left feet.
Hey, I tap in. The only one better is maybe Air. Maybe
Air might be able to dance. Yeah, Air might be able
Air
to dance.
Maybe Air can get it, but she's been in CT right now. She a little pale, so she probably can't beat me neither.
And I saw Cheyenne try to dance, and it was terrible. So, yeah, nobody can dance.
Look, DC putting everyone on blast. all right, so also, DC mentioned when you guys went face-to-face in Bristol once. So, DC, the infamous video of you trying to get off the line against Ryan in the hallway of Bristol, Connecticut. RC, tap in or tap out, you're finally ready to admit that DC could beat you off the line as a wide receiver.
RC. I tap all the way out.
RC.
Like, I'm leaving the show. I'm not losing my mind. Why would I ever lie like that? RC. The dude took 27 steps in the same spot. By then, the quarterback is sacked. He better have Lamar Jackson getting blocked for by Orlando Pace, Jonathan Ogden, Steve Hutchinson, and two other Hall of Famers. Ain't no way, bro.
Let me tell you something. I felt like Jefferson from the Vikings.
Oh,
I
Jesus.
Felt I
felt like felt, George Jefferson.
I felt like what's the kid's name from Cincinnati? I'm talking all the LSU. Jamar Chase. I'm all the LSU receivers. I felt like I was them. Back with you and me in '99, I would go off. I beat him with the shoulders. I beat him with the feet. Yeah, I got an inside release off RC. No, I think I had him. I think I had him. Guys, so yeah, I tap it.
Guys, Jake, tap out. That's ridiculous. It's the most ridiculous thing we've actually ever heard of.
Yo, I was I was actually surprised at how strong you were when you kind of pushed me. I was like, I guess like it's different, right? Like when, because like when you push me, it's like you're pushing me as a, in a football situation. So I was like, yo, he's actually kind of strong.
All right, guys. Light heavyweight at this weight.
Yeah.
One final one. Speaking of football, DC's infamous quote unquote 30-yard field goal at the Saints facility has been shown on this show numerous times during the show's
47.
Run. So RC, tap in or tap out, the kick could have gone in from 50 yards as DC claimed on the video that it could have.
That kick couldn't have gone in from a yard farther than it was kicked.
Ooh.
That was it. That was all the leg DC had. That was not Michael Chandler kicking Tony Ferguson in the face. That's not what it was. That was not the sort of leg strength that DC displayed. Man. Hell no. And dang there ain't go in for where he kicked it.
Hey, RC, problem was it would have got blocked at the line because that thing literally was like just as tall as the crossbar. But it was 47 yards for the record, Jake. It was literally a 47-yard field goal. It wasn't 30. And we literally went and had a diagram drawn up of the end zone of how far the guy's kicker's back, and we measured it at 46 yards. You guys know we did this.
Hey, DC, here's what's funny, though. You can't even keep your lies straight. It was 47. By the end of your sentence, it was 46. Pick one.
I changed. Because I was about to say 43, but then I was like, that's just too much of a difference. Corporate Jake, thank you, man. RC, my brother, it has been an honor and a privilege, bro. I'm going to miss doing our promos on the fights. I'm going to miss talking to you every week, but I will see you on TV. And Ryan, I famously said in the intro, can we go one show without you saying, I'm a Super Bowl champion? Bro, on your way out, come on, man. Just at least say it one time. Like, I won the Super Bowl. I won it in me. At some point, you got to pat yourself on the back, bro. Please.
Nah, man. You know what? I have won a Super Bowl. That is very true. I also have won an Emmy. That is also very true. But, man, this has been one of the largest honors of my post-career life, man. To do this show with you, to be accepted, man, it was awesome. So my question to you is, bro, you can't stop doing this. You got to keep carrying the torch. What's next for you?
You know, so I am here. I am going to be here. I'm taking a week off.
Okay.
1 week off, RC, but then I'm back. And I'm back with a new partner. And while that partner may not be my little chocolate skin brother right here from Marrero, Louisiana, he's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It'll be as good as anything because we have a great team, Ryan, like you said, that will build a great show. And we will continue to bring you guys great television every single week.
So here's my one request. My one request.
Go ahead.
Is this. Week one of the first show, I'm the first FaceTime. That's all I ask.
Oh, we would definitely love to bring you on.
Can we go one round with RC so I can tell the new host, thank you for taking care of my boy and wish you guys both the best.
And I'm gonna see you in Miami.
See you in Miami, my boy.
Absolutely, yes, sir. Bro. Guys, 1 week off, back in 2 weeks with a brand new show. For me, for Daniel Cormier, my good friend Ryan Clark, for the very last time, thank you, my guy. This is DC and RC, and we're going to catch y'all on the other side. Peace.